All right, welcome back. This is the week you missed. March 29th. This year is flying by 2023. I've been saying for the last few weeks, I hope this isn't too crazy of a week. And this one definitely was, I would say, a pretty crazy week. I think there's too many subjects I want to talk about. I kind of wanted to talk about Philadelphia with their little water crisis. Plastics being dumped into the Delaware River, potentially ruining the water supply, although it looks like they're saying it's not going to be an issue. But that one seems to be passing by already. And the bigger issue this week, or the wilder story, I hate to laugh, I feel like that's all you can do these days, though, is the trans, I'm going to struggle what to say, boy, girl, both, that shot up an elementary school in Tennessee. Elementary school is something you never want to hear with shooting. A school, never, like, little kids never want to hear about it. A school, not good. And then a church at that, trifecta. But then super confusing story that day. Was it a boy? Was it a girl? At first it was a teenage girl. Then they said it was a teenage or an older woman, 28. Then they said it was actually a trans. Then they said it's actually a woman who identified as a guy. This just hit too many bases to not talk about. I feel like the gun issue is definitely somewhat of an issue. This person had mental health issues and was still able to get 7 guns. So, like, that is number one. Why is that still possible of anything? Like, of course, if you're a criminal, if you don't have mental health, if you're a criminal, you shouldn't be able to get guns. You might be able to get them illegally, but at least, like, have that barrier. If you're mental or you have mental health issues, you shouldn't be allowed to get guns. Maybe you can still get them some other way, but at least there should be that barrier there. That was a little bit surprising. That's one thing that I thought was interesting. Another thing I thought was, that CNN of all the networks seems to be referring to her, which I think is interesting because they're a news agency that's very big on pronouns and being respectful to people, but they're calling her a her, but she was calling herself a boy. So I thought that was interesting of, like, what is this? I guess we could start there and see what you say for those.
So it is, I mean, obviously a complete and utter tragedy. And as usual, as soon as any sort of mass shooting happens, there's a rush to try to figure out, okay, whose team were they on? Who can we blame for this? Is it Tucker Carlson's fault, or is it some wacky left-wing ideology's fault? You know, and it's just so gross because it's like, at the end of the day, it's not any of the, like, even if someone was a huge Rachel Maddow fan or a huge Tucker Carlson fan, 99% of those people do not go into a school and shoot children. The overriding fact is not whether they were right wing or left wing. It's that they were crazy, mm-hmm. and it's that they were unstable and that they're violent. And, you know, I think that everyone is sort of waiting for the fact to come out that this person was somewhat known to law enforcement, or that they had had, you know, that their mental health issues were known, because that's what it always seems to be. It's like, so many times when these stories break, it's like, oh yeah, it turns out this person was on the police's radar, or turns out there were multiple reports and no one acted on them. So it is crazy. And I got to admit, the whole gender thing on this has been wild to watch, because, like, I was going through Twitter threads where people are like, well, it's a trans man. No, it's a trans woman. Well, she was a woman at birth, but seems to have gone by he, him pronouns, but we're not really sure. And da 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 da. And, like, it is interesting because, like, and then you see people that are, you know, trans rights activists being like, even when, you know, trans people commit crimes, they shouldn't be misgendered. And, like, it's really important that we gender this person properly. And, like, look, I'm all for respecting people's pronoun preferences and all this. Like, and, like, I'm not for these laws that are, you know, that many red states are passing that are banning, you know, various medical treatments or drag shows for kids or whatever. I mean, I think it's up to individuals. I don't think the government needs to get involved. But just to, like, watch these people tie themselves in knots over this stuff has been just, yeah, like, crazy. Well, and it's also interesting because, like, there have been times when a trans woman, so someone male at birth who is now, you know, a woman who has raped someone, and it will be like, woman rapes woman. And then it goes on to basically show a picture of, like, what if you asked anyone 10 years ago, like, they're like, they'd be like, that's a dude. Mm. And it's like, well, we got to respect their pronouns and call them the right thing. But then when it's like a school shooter, and now it's like, well, it was a man, or no, it was a woman, or, and it's interesting because it's like, if you go by the trans identity and if that was valid, because there were people saying that, like, she wasn't even really trans, or I don't even know. And I apologize if I'm messing up any pronouns, but this whole thing has been very confusing.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, if we go by the trans identity, then this was another shooting by a white male, which is like the demographic that does it. If we go by biological sex, it was a white female, which is like incredibly rare.
I'm curious, testosterone level, if she or he was taking testosterone, that could be, I think, another interesting factor if we even ever are able to figure that out.
That's another thing I saw. People were like online being like, it's ridiculous to suggest that testosterone might make a trans person more aggressive. And it's like, no, I thought we were all in agreement that testosterone makes like boys aggressive. Like,
yeah, definitely.
When you're talking about like why, you know, 13 to 17 year old boys get in more fights and do stupid stuff and are more aggressive, it's like universally agreed upon that the fact that their body is getting flushed with testosterone for the first time in their life is a big factor in that.
Right.
So like, if you're taking, and like the idea of roid rage, like no one questions that. Everyone's like, yeah, if you do a bunch of steroids, including testosterone or testosterone derivatives or precursors, it's like, you might get a little more aggro.
Right.
It's accepted fact, but now it's like, because it's considered, you know, this like healthcare thing, it's like, well, that couldn't possibly be a cause. But, you know, I think it's I don't think this is good. I think that, you know, I don't know. I think that this just threw a hand grenade into the culture war stuff around this.
Definitely. And
I think that we are going to see more violence from both sides of this issue in the coming months and years until something comes to a head. I just don't see how things get turned down at this point.
Yeah, no, I unfortunately agree with that. I do have one other thing I wanted to mention before we hear what you got for the week. But I kind of say this every mass shooting, it's one of my, I think, biggest points, and most of the time, most people don't seem to reply to it. But in Philadelphia, in the last 3 days, there's been more people, or just as many people, who've been killed as in Tennessee. And if you go back a month, in the last month, there's been more people killed in Philadelphia than in Nashville, Tennessee. And it's interesting to me that that just never gets coverage, that it's like only the shootings of more than three people get coverage, but there's cities that there's people dying every single day, and it doesn't seem to matter to a lot of people. The only thing I can seem to think the difference is one, it's not as expected, so people are surprised, and that's why it's news. And then the also difference is these mass shootings happen to be victims who are white, and the victims in the cities are usually Black. And just on that point, it's interesting to me that CNN calls anyone and everyone racist for everything. If you say a certain word or you shared a meme, they just had an article last week, if you share these memes, you're racist now. But they don't think it's racist that they only mention shootings to white victims and not to Black victims. Like, why aren't you guys giving any care to the Black victims? Seems a little interesting to me.
Well, in Philadelphia specifically, look, D.A. Krasner has caught an ever-ending raft of shit from many people. It was shocking to me he got reelected, but something that I find insane, obviously there's a gun violence problem in Philadelphia. There are actually laws on the books that would allow illegal possession of a gun, or if you're a felon, if you commit a felony in possession of a gun, there are sentencing enhancements that will allow you to put people away for like 5 to 10 years. And I think it's, from my understanding, it's like if the DA, and if you push for it and if you have good evidence, you can get this you can get these people off the streets for 5 to 10 years. So I'm just going to read a quote from Krasner. Focusing so many resources on removing guns from the street while a constant supply of new guns is available is unlikely to stop gun violence, but it does erode trust in the perceived legitimacy of the system. So basically what he's saying is that, there's a massive supply of legal and illegal guns, but because African-Americans are the ones that are sort of disproportionately targeted by police or disproportionately found to have them, that it's not really worth enforcing because it leads to like more African-American folks headed for jail, which is bad. I don't remember the exact quote, but he also had some quote where he said, we can't let the war on guns become the next war on drugs, basically implying that we can't use guns as an excuse to just throw people in prison because it will end up disproportionately impacting sort of marginalized communities. Yeah. So you know what, I would argue that it's pretty marginalizing to have your blocks being shot up on a fairly regular or semi-regular basis. It's pretty marginalizing to have people in your community getting murdered. And I bet if you went into those communities and asked, hey, if someone who had already been arrested for felony assault or, you know, something crazy, if we caught them with a gun, committing another felony or like armed robbery, would you mind if we threw them in jail for 5 to 10 years? I bet most people would be like, no. Please do.
Right.
Because I know that that guy runs around and terrorizes this block, or I know that this guy's involved in violent shit. So it's just, I don't know. It's disappointing. It's sad. And, you know, I think to circle back, something you and I have talked about, and I actually brought it up with my wife, because I think it was a great idea that you had. I think that if we're looking at the security of schools, especially in cities or especially in suburbs, the idea of sort of establishing like satellite police offices within public schools and private schools, if they wanted it, I think it's a great idea. You know, officers should be more integrated with the community anyways. You make a little outpost to give an office, you know, three officers at the school at any given time. They're walking around during periods. They can just, you know, don't use them to necessarily like discipline or crack down on kids. They should just be there as like the officer that they're getting to know and that is like telling kids to knock it off and, you know, just sort of be visible and also there to provide security.
Because they kept on touting these officers, which the body cam videos definitely made it look like these guys were pretty good. They ran in, didn't look like they took much delay. But it's like, hey, if you had a satellite office there, that 14 minutes that they're so proud of could have probably been 3 minutes or 4 minutes.
They would have shot a third of the people, one or two people at most. I remember, there was this, I think it was an LA Times editorial. It was after maybe the Parkland shooting, the one in Florida. And it was when the debate about having, you know, arming teachers or having more armed guards at the school. And this person wrote this editorial that was basically like, we need to just take away the guns and get the guns off the street and da 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 da. And like, what good would an armed guard have happened? Sure, if an armed guard was there, maybe only 6 kids would have died instead of 14. But isn't that just as tragic? And it's like, no 14 kids dying is much more tragic than 6 dying. I don't know what to tell you. Like,
it's eight more tragic than 6.
Yes, I don't know what to tell you. Like, and it's just like this refusal, because it's like, look, I think we could have better gun laws or certainly better background checks, certainly around mental health issues. And I think we could better secure schools. I think we should approach this from both sides.
Right. And that'd be a compromise, and that'd be bipartisan maybe. And that's how the United States was supposed to act. Like we're not all going to agree all the time, but we come up with ideas that make everyone happy.
The left won't love more armed guards in schools, and the right won't love more mental health checks or maybe more restrictive background checks. But for the safety of our society, for the safety of kids in school, maybe that's a compromise we should make. I know I'd be fine with that. As an avid gun owner, but I don't know. It's just crazy. And again, this is just one of those issues where like nothing ever happens. Nothing will happen because it's so polarized and the debate just like, it just can't, it can't be had in a responsible or level-headed way. And that's
something else is going to happen probably today or this week that makes us all lose our attention and go on to the next thing. Which, speaking of which, what do you have for us today?
I mean, you watch any of those TikTok hearings?
Dude, that was another of like the six things that were on my mind I want to talk about. I hate that so much. Let's hear what you have to say first.
Well, what do you hate about it? You and I might feel differently about this.
I hate a few things. I hate one, that they just targeted TikTok. So like my main thing is, hey, if let's say TikTok is harboring data, in my opinion, Congress should say, here's a rule, you're not allowed to harbor data. And then that would stop TikTok from harboring data, but it would also apply to Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and all the other social medias. It's just weird to me that they're saying no, no TikTok, when it's like a lot of these things that they're blaming on TikTok are actually on other social medias, and a lot of times worse on other social medias. TikTok is one of the only social media platforms that consistently takes down a lot of my posts about mushrooms. Facebook doesn't, Instagram doesn't. I just posted last week a naked picture of myself on Facebook and Instagram. I was covered, but I was naked. Facebook and Instagram showed it to more people than I've ever had a story shown to. Had like 500 viewers. I usually have 100 to 200. So that's a little interesting. I post the same naked thing on TikTok and they don't let me. They take it down. It's like, why is the censorship on TikTok stronger? But they seem to be more concerned about that. That's an interesting thing to me. There's also age parameters. You're not allowed to be on TikTok under 13. They close it after like 10 p.m. if you're between 13 and 18. There's no parameters like that on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and all of that. So it just seems like a lot of like attacking TikTok. They say like, hey, it's the data. The biggest concern I think is it's the data that China could like steal. But TikTok said, hey, we're going to hold all of the data in Texas under the management of a U.S. company, Oracle, and they can secure it and manage it. That seems like a great solution, and no one wanted to hear it. So like whenever they came up with solutions or things, it's like Congress didn't want to hear about it, and it didn't seem like Congress wanted a solution. They just wanted to ban it. Now also, it's called the Restrict Bill, and there's a lot of other things involved in it. There's no apps that are going to be allowed from Russia, Hong Kong, China, Venezuela, Iran. So like only one other app I know of offhand is Telegram that will likely be affected by this. All VPNs are going to be affected. You're not going to be able to use VPNs. Pretty sure that's going to restrict a lot of crypto apps as well, and off-chain wallets or off-exchange wallets and stuff. They're probably going to restrict and make illegal also. So this is a very like overreaching bill that seems very restrictive and seems like something you'd expect from China or from North Korea or from Russia, not from the United States of freedom.
Okay, so, and as usual, like I support the idea of banning or heavily modifying or doing a forced sale of TikTok. I do not support the bill that they brought out because, like the government always does, they go, oh, look, here's a problem that a lot of us agree on. Now we're going to pass a law that, sure, it addresses that, but it also gives us completely expanded powers and does all this other stuff. So in its current iteration, like, I'm against that bill. I don't think it should pass because it is terrible. However, and, you know, it's funny you brought up Russia, because the question I was going to ask you, do you think if TikTok was a Russian app that people would even think twice about banning it? Right now, in the current climate with Russia, with Ukraine going on, please, that app would be banned so fast it would make your fucking head spin.
Telegram hasn't been banned.
It's not as popular. It's not as big. It doesn't touch as many people. Like, it dude, it's not as mainstream as TikTok. You can agree on that.
It's like, not as addictive and a part of your life as TikTok.
But they would be banning TikTok if it was Russian government owned and yelling Slava Ukraini while they did it. And that would be that. It would be gone. Because the thing is, it's like, the fact of the matter is, every single private entity in China is not actually private. They're all required. They're all are basically, I think, at least 50% or 51% owned by the Chinese government in almost every case. And government officials are involved in the business, and the business is required to support the Chinese government in military and intelligence gathering activities if needed. Also, in terms of them moving the data to Texas, I mean, sure, I guess that's better, but if you don't think that the Chinese won't have a backdoor into that data to look at it if they really want to, you're crazy, because they obviously will. I don't know, like, I think it's weird, because I feel like, and look, and the other point about the other social media companies need to have, you know, restrictions on them, completely agree. Like, look, I think we, something we do need is, we do need some sort of regulation, I think, passed around the data that social media collects and the way that they use it. We need something better, like Europe has, or I think California has passed some laws that we could look to. And look, you know me, like, I'm a pretty laissez-faire guy, but at the same time, like, we are seeing the negative side effects of all of this data collection and everything else. And I also, like, I don't like the fact that for no other reason that these companies collect it, and if the government wants it, they can get it. Like, right. But, you know, that's part of the reason that I don't like the way they do this. But
curious, what's the danger if China has my data?
Your data?
Yeah, mine.
Any individual's data?
Why isn't it my choice if I'm scared of Russia or China having my data? Why can't it be my choice? Because, like, I kind of don't care if China has my data.
So here's the thing.
If they steal my bank account, yeah, I care. But, like, I don't care that they know I whack off 8 times a day. I fucking have 3 dogs. I eat this. I eat that. Like, that's cool. Let them target ads for someone like that. Whatever.
So I don't think the potential risk, I'm not going to say it's a danger because I don't want to be hyperbolic, but the potential risk doesn't come in any single data point. It comes in what can be gleaned from having the entire pool of data and being able to analyze trends or other things of that nature. Like, it's any single piece of data is never useful for anything. It's an anecdote. Data only becomes useful once you have a ton of data points that you can look at. And that's true of—
All right, next point. Next point. So everyone in US, or like Congress at least used to, Facebook at least used to say, hey, we want to be in China. China's so restrictive. So if Facebook was successful at getting into China, what would that do? Can't China just take all of the data that way as well? Do we not want to be in China anymore? Has that changed? And like 5 years ago, Facebook was very intent on getting into China. Mark Zuckerberg learned Mandarin Chinese because of his intent to get into China and show like how much he wanted it. That was his like number one target. And then when he wasn't able to get it, started lobbying against TikTok. You don't think that's a little sketchy, and that like a lot of this anger might be funded by someone who's not the best?
Oh yeah, look, I mean, this idea that this ban on TikTok or this whole movement is like purely altruistic and it's for the kids or it's for the safety of America, come on, it's bullshit. I mean, obviously it's social media companies that are lobbying for this, their competitors, like that's just the way the game is played. That's just the nature of the beast. But, you know, to your point, I think, look, if I could wave a magic wand into these social media companies and it would say, if you could guarantee that all American users of TikTok's data was only kept onshore and that it was 100% impossible for, Chinese government or Chinese military or Chinese intelligence or anyone to access that data, I'd have zero problem with it. And I think she goes, if Facebook opened up in China, I think it would be sort of the same thing. It'd be like, look, all the Chinese data is stored on Chinese servers. And if the Chinese government wants to allow their intelligence or their state police or whatever to access that data, that's a Chinese decision. That's for them. We're sovereign countries. Mm-hmm. They can do what they want. If Mark Zuckerberg wants to make a deal with the Chinese that say, yeah, we'll run Facebook in your country and you get complete access to the data as part of the deal of why we're letting you in, that's a choice for Mark Zuckerberg and Xi Jinping to make in the Communist Party. And if they want to make that choice, they can make that choice. Mm-hmm. You know, but it's, yeah. And like, look, I think there's much more pressing things
Much more.
Much more pressing things in this country and that what's going on. And also, like you brought up, I mean, the law that they're proposing is atrocious and it shouldn't pass.
Yeah.
But look, at the end of the day, like, I mean, here, I'll just ask this. If we start a hot war with China, where there are Chinese fighter planes and American fighter planes shooting each other down and blowing up boats in the ocean, do you think banning TikTok then in its current structure would be okay?
No.
No?
No.
No? So if you had people, potentially military people, talking about shit on TikTok, you have people, you wouldn't stop that? You think if Nazi Germany had an app during World War II, if we had phones back then, you don't think it would have been banned in the US?
No, because I have a few reasons, but one reason for that particular instance, in America, a lot of people were being lied to and weren't aware of what was going on. And a lot of Jews tried to come to the US and were literally turned away at the harbors. And I bet you if there was a TikTok back then, there would have been more people in the US going, don't turn them away. This is bullshit. They're lying to us. It's bad over there. We need to let them in. And it's the people who tell the truth. And the people are how you, the only way to access people right now is through an app like TikTok. I heard about East Palestine the day it happened. I heard about it on CNN and Fox 10 days after it happened. I hear about things in France, in Paris, the day they happened 2 months ago. I'm just starting to hear about them on CNN and Fox. I hear about things going on in Israel a week ago. I'm just hearing about them today on CNN and Fox. So like you hear from the people a lot sooner, and the people are usually on each other's side. It's the governments that hate each other. If we can interact with the Chinese citizens, that would be great. If China could actually interact with us, the citizens, instead of being behind all these censorship, I think that'd be really good for everyone because communication's key. Something I think brother said a lot from the book, I'm blanking on the name, Sapiens, is they mention in it, like the fact that that Russia and the US are talking is huge. They might hate each other, but if they weren't talking, it'd be way worse because you're way more likely to get into a worse conflict if you guys don't even talk. If you're talking, at least there's like something going on.
Oh yeah, look, completely agree with that. But then look, I think at the end of the day, I do think I would support some law that basically said, like if I think something like this could end up happening because what we're realizing is that these apps and everything, like they can have back doors built into them. They can be used for other purposes. They can, you know, an app that is a photo app can be used to track people's movements because every single picture they take is geotagged with data. Like, and so something along the lines of almost like international treaties that are like, we either, like apps developed in India and America are either available in both countries and we follow these rules or they're not.
Or not, yeah.
And it's like, there should be some sort of international treaty that's like, if you want your apps in my country, we will do this and you're expected to do the same thing. The rules are the same and let's agree on this. Because look, I think that if I would feel like much less, I would feel much more comfortable with this if Facebook, if Twitter, if all these things were available in China. Because to your point, yeah. Like, look,
I agree.
The only people that that anyone in America is interacting with in China, they're not the average person. It's the tech savvy person who gets on a VPN or knows how to get around the Great Firewall. Like the idea that if some sort of conflict pops off in these more restrictive countries, that you're going to be able to see what's going on. Sure, you'll be able to see some of what's going on, but a majority of it is going to be restricted or shut down or bottled up. You know, I do think there is something to that point. And we've seen stuff coming out of Iran. We've seen things coming out of other hostile countries that is good. But like, think about it this way, like how many TikToks you see from North Korea?
Yeah, no.
How many tweets you see from the average person in North Korea? Like none, bro.
That's true. Example,
like if you want to lock it down, they could lock it down. But again, I do think that it's unfortunate that the government is proposing such an absurd law. I've seen it compared to basically the Internet Patriot Act.
Yeah.
And I hopefully in this form it will not pass. I wouldn't support it. And as
it looks like it's gonna pass. That's the thing. I hope it doesn't pass maybe in the same form. Or hope if it does pass, people get angry enough where they have to change it. But as of now, my bet would be it's gonna pass.
I think Biden will veto it and then like floss behind the desk and post it on TikTok, or like
that'd
be whatever, like the new like meme dance on TikTok is.
The
It'll
day
be like
before
Biden.
the day
Yeah.
before the election. We got a year away. We're already in election season. By the way, speaking of Biden, did you see him talk about ice cream before the
Oh man.
Yeah, that was a little ridiculous. But I don't know.
Oh.
I think I'm done with the week we missed. That was a week we should have missed probably.
Yeah, it would have been great to skip over this one.
Yeah, the weather in Philly at least looks like it's gonna be nice for the next few days. So hopefully people's attitudes and how they act is reflective of that.
Yes, hopefully the weather brings out the best in everyone.
Have
But
a great day. You have a
yep.
pleasant say.
No, that's it.
See you later. Much love. Peace.
Peace.